Hello, everybody, and welcome to our NEPT Open Coaching and Support Call. I'm here for you today to tune in to see what's going on for you in your practices, in your studies, and how I can support you, whether it be in your own health journey, whether it be in particular clients that you're working with, or whether it be in some of the modules and the studies that you're working on. So I'm open to whatever you have. I am going to keep this call to be on time today because I actually have a family gathering that I'm missing right now because I didn't know it was happening. My niece is getting married tomorrow and she's having her rehearsal. So I'm going to head on over there for the dinner after we finish this. So Lynn, go ahead.
I actually have a client's Dutch test and I just love it when surprises come up. She didn't tell me that she was already on progesterone. So, of course, it alters her results. And I was reviewing it, but I was feeling some uncertainty with some of the things. So I was wondering if I could share my screen.
Sure.
And you could just give me some quick ideas.
We all love Dutch tests, don't we? We learn so much from those Dutch tests. Go for it.
Okay.
And the surprises are how we learn, right? So just keep that in mind. When things come back not the way you expect them, it triggers you to go down a pathway to figure stuff out.
So, exactly.
Yeah.
I have to find it. Let's see here. Dutch test results. Come on, honey. There we go. All right. Tell me when you see what...
I see your screen, yeah. All right, stop so I can just say quick, okay, super. Even though she's on progesterone, how old is she?
She's in her upper 50s.
Menopausal?
Yes.
Okay. Interestingly enough, it looks like her, yeah. Okay, so good. Her testosterone's actually pretty good. Okay, let's look at her DHA. Did her... Yeah, you know, her adrenals look actually fairly good. She's got that real low in the morning and the real low dip in the afternoon, but it follows the curve fairly well. Her 24-hour cortisol is more than her metabolized, which means she's probably utilizing or calling on her body to utilize more than she's actually making, or she's over-clearing. DHA looks good. DHA looks really good. Okay, next.
Okay, hold on. Making a note here.
Yeah.
Do you want me to keep going or stop?
Yeah, no, I don't like this page. Keep going.
I had a feeling.
I only look there as if I really need to see where they are. But the dials actually... You know, pictures are much easier to deal with. All right, so she you found out after she took the test that she was on progesterone and she kept taking it while she was doing the test. Is that correct?
Go
down a little bit so I can see the top. Yeah, a little. No, the other way. Go up a little. I want to see the top of the page. There we go. I'll keep it going a little higher. Good. All right. So even on progesterone, look how low her progesterone numbers are.
Right.
So she can't be taking too much or she's not absorbing it real well.
Right. So one of the things she came to me for in the first place, I had mentioned to you, this is the person who came to me because she just wanted to do a juice fast because she has weight that just doesn't come off. And she's been doing okay on testing her blood sugar. And actually her food plan is pretty good. I'm working on switching her over to coffee. She has a cup of coffee first thing in the morning. The highest I've seen her blood sugar go, and she's not following everything exactly in terms of testing. So she usually will test right before and then maybe 20 to 30 minutes afterwards.
That's not a peak.
So
if you've only seen it go a certain height, you don't know because you haven't seen her peak.
Okay, so the highest I've seen it go is 116.
116.
Most of the time, it's staying like around 100.
But that's only within 20 to 30 minutes after eating.
Correct.
Right? So what I'm saying is, if you're going to get them to test just once, let's try to catch a peak. Go for 45. Or at least get her to test it a few times, like just to see at what point it starts to come
again. There have been a couple of times she's done it up to an hour.
Yeah.
And that's usually when it shows like between 90 and 95.
It goes to 90 and 95 within?
Within an hour. And so that's why I actually asked her to go back and do like about 30 minutes because I was suspecting it was going up sooner and dropping down.
Yeah, and if you don't know what's happening later, you don't know if she's hyperinsulinemic. And then at 2 hours, because at 90 to 95 at an hour, that's pretty low, right?
Yeah,
so if she has peaked and is coming down, she may be keep on coming down. And she may be going into hypoglycemic low, which means she's making too much insulin.
Okay.
Yeah. There is a case where have her test her insulin, have her test her fasting insulin. And if that doesn't show up poorly, you want to make sure you get a postprandial insulin.
Right.
Yeah.
She does have a Keto Mojo. She is having a hard time getting into ketosis. She is doing MCT oil. She does eat animal protein. And we're looking at having her actually reduce it just because there's the idea there's not enough fiber as well as affecting her pH balance. So
how much animal protein in a day and how versus how much vegetable? Right. If somebody's eating with a ton of vegetables.
Right. She's actually increased the amount of vegetables she's taken, but she's not doing enough. So that's part of it. You know, she was dismayed. She only lost a pound. I said, let's celebrate that pound. Let's celebrate it's gone. We released it. No more to return. So, you know, getting her out of that mindset of not losing weight. Everything I do, I've been on every single diet and I never lose weight. And this is why I was interested in seeing what her cortisol levels are because she does do a lot of intensive exercise throughout the week. She kind of berates herself for not exercising enough. And I suggested she maybe not exercise too much, maybe more the gentle, having that mix, that rotation of adding in, because she wasn't doing enough stretching and yoga type exercises.
Mm-hmm. So where's your question here, right? What's your confusion here?
Well, I just wasn't sure how her taking what to look for because she is taking progesterone and
she's in the toilet. She's in the toilet because she's taking progesterone, but her numbers are horrifically low.
Right.
When did she go through menopause?
Oh, gosh, about 6 years ago.
6 years ago. Yeah, so her numbers are really, I mean, given she's taking progesterone, it's imagine what she'd be if she wasn't.
Right.
Right. The other thing I look at, I like to look at ratios. So let's just see, you know, her testosterone and her DHA are actually pretty good. She's fairly balanced in 5-alpha reductase activity. She's just right there at the center line. But I'm concerned about the ratios there. Her floor is at 14%. That's putting her at risk of breast cancer and other kind of hormones.
What are you looking at?
I'm looking at the little disc here, the little
line. Oh.
Look at her
floor.
Yeah. 15. Yeah. And her 16 is very, very low. So I'm concerned about her bones and her breasts.
Right. And we talked about her bones because I wanted her to do more stomping exercises and then adding in because she does a smoothie in the morning, so adding in some of those herbs. We have talked about intermittent fasting, but she's having a hard time with the idea of giving up her coffee.
Coffee's an acidifier, right? Coffee will thin out the mucous membrane in the gut lining. Coffee interferes, you know, and it artificially can keep the cholesterol higher than it should be, which can affect bones. So she gluten-free, dairy-free, sugar-free, flour-free.
Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah. So coffee, 1B1, right? Does she have any genetics?
I haven't done her genetics. I'm just working on getting her to really, her. Like I said, her big thing is she can't lose weight.
Okay, so she's got to get, you got to figure out the blood sugar because we're, you know, she probably does have some issues. I bet she's hyperinsulinemic. Get her an insulin test and get her a hemoglobin A1C.
Yeah.
Is going to tend to be lower in folks who are hyperinsulinemic because they tend to have those more real lows that balance out some of the highs.
Her doctor actually is the one who agreed to order this Dutch test.
Wow. Well, then maybe he'll agree to, or he or she will agree to order those tests. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I would say my guess is that she has a 1B1 SNP, CYP1B1.
Right.
And that's causing her not to be able to break down the 4-hydroxy, which is carcinogenic. And guess what it competes with? What does it compete with? What does that enzyme also do besides break down the 4-hydroxy? I'll give you a hint.
Say that again.
What's her bad habit you're trying to break?
Oh, coffee. Yeah, caffeine.
Yeah, 1B1. You know, so if you're looking at, you know, you're looking at a competing pathway, right? So that pathway will work to break down caffeine. It'll also work to break down the 4-hydroxy. So if you don't give the caffeine, it's going to work better at breaking down the 4-hydroxy, which is breast protective.
Right.
Okay. We know that caffeine contributes to fibrocystic breasts. Yeah. So the combination of that plus this high 4, I think, you know, that may be some ammunition that you have for her to show her. Because I bet she has that SNP. My guess is that she has that SNP. If you see it right there.
Right? Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Her estriol is super low, so that's why the 16-hydroxy is super low. See how her estrone is much lower than the others?
Yep.
We want that ratio to be E1 plus E2 is greater than or equal to E3.
Right.
And she's not anywhere there. So supplementation with estrone can be very helpful. You know, that Bezwecken has that Estadapt. That's a good way to do it. I mean, there's other products that have estriol in it.
Okay.
So I'd be looking at that. I would say she needs to stay on her progesterone and maybe even up her dose of progesterone.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Is she doing topical progesterone?
No.
Is it oral progesterone?
Oral, yeah.
Is she taking it at bedtime?
That I don't know. Like I said, I just found out when she sent this to me, and that was the only thing I asked her is.
Yeah, so it's prescription progesterone that she got from a doc?
Yep.
Yeah, so is it the same doc that ordered this test?
Yes.
All right, so maybe, you know, just put the bug in her ear to ask the doc about upping the progesterone as a result of this. Now, is it progesterone or is it a progestin?
She said progesterone, so I will.
But verify, always verify when people say they're on progesterone. If they're on synthetic progesterone, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's a good question. Yep, thank you.
Yep. And progesterone orally, usually we take at night. It can produce a relaxation effect. So for a lot of people, it's a good time to get to sleep. So if she's sleepy during the day and she's taking progesterone during the day, it may be good to swap that out and do it at night.
Right. Well, you know, if I look at her cortisol, it goes way down at night.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I was thinking when you said that, maybe that.
It's also way low in the morning too. So it's rock bottom at the morning and the night.
Yeah.
You know, which isn't bad because she does, it does come up during the day when she, but it goes really low at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
So she can have those evenings where she has a hard time staying awake.
Well, yeah. And it was interesting, the, cause she does, she's, a therapist. And so she does have some nights where she meets with people, like groups and things. And, the time when her, blood sugar readings were highest is when she was getting ready and preparing and so she wasn't eating in a relaxed environment. And
yeah,
and I had mentioned that to her as well.
Yeah. I'm suspicious of insulin. The fact that she has been struggling for so long to lose weight, you can't lose weight with hyperinsulinemia. You just can't. It just physiologically impossible, right?
Right.
So I would really verify that and see if you can get an insulin test.
Yeah.
And sometimes we see that in these folks, and you know, hemoglobin A1C might be perfectly fine. You're not seeing any real highs in the test, but she's not going long enough to see if you're seeing any real lows. Usually, if they won't do that test and they don't want to do the postprandials out that far, I'll get a hemoglobin A1C, and if I see like a 4.8 on somebody who I suspect is has this issue, I would suspect it's hyperinsulinemia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that makes me feel good that at least I was on the right direction with her in terms of really, because she was resistant to getting her blood sugar. She's like,
maybe this doc will give her a prescription for a Libre. That, you know, if the doc's open to doing this test, she can approach that and tell her about that.
Okay.
You know, because that's the easiest thing for, especially somebody's busy and, you know,
yeah,
it's hard.
True.
Having that thing, you know, I took mine off because I was taking vitamin C and I knew I would get bad readings on it. So I just took it off while I'm, you know, taking the high doses of C. And so I just forget about testing. I haven't been testing. Oh, you know.
And you said the 10 is better than the 14, right?
10 is the 14. And it's not just me. There's several people who have had that problem. I had a 12-hour overlap of one on, had both of them on. And the 14 was, the 10 matched my finger prick perfectly. The 14 was off the charts high.
Yeah, that's what I'm
like, 130? Why do I have 130 on my blood glucose? I never have 130. 130 with a ketone level of 2. You don't see that.
It's, yeah.
Let's see what else she has. Keep going on. I want to see her organic acid part. Does she have that part? Or?
Oh, I think it did that. Yeah.
Here you go. Whoops, I'm not seeing it. There you go. MMA within range, zero within range, within range, within a low end of range melatonin. She have any trouble sleeping?
She didn't mention it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, if I see people with that and they're not symptomatic, I do talk to them about the, you know, sleep hygiene type of stuff that helps to bring the melatonin up naturally. Getting outdoors the first thing in the morning, you know, or the early hours.
She is doing that because she takes her dog out to walk.
Good.
So, you know, she's doing that because I talked about that first morning sunlight hitting her.
Mm-hmm. Let me see the other, just you have the page that's got the cortisone on it. Let's see what that is. It should be before the, it's usually right before that organic acid chart. Was there anything in the narrative? Okay, good. Let's see. So DHEA metabolized cortisol. Oops. It skipped to the next page. Go back. It's right now, it's just on the numbers. That's what I'm seeing on my page. I saw the picture for a while, the page that has the cortisone.
So this isn't what you want, where it has DHEAS, low end of range.
That's not what I'm seeing. What are you guys seeing? I'm seeing the page that has creatinine and cortisol. Yeah, I want to see the picture.
You want to see the picture?
I want to see the picture.
Okay, where's the picture?
It was, you just had it up there a minute ago.
Mm.
It should be right before it or right after. There you go. Okay, so, yeah. All right. I'm a picture person. You know, she's balanced in cortisol, cortisone. Yeah, scroll down a little bit so I can see the graph. Wait, that picture up there showed more cortisol, more cortisone. Oh, that maybe not was the, that was the metabolites. Okay. Yeah, so she's, yeah, we want to look at, I wonder why that's so much higher. Scroll up so I can see the top of the page a little bit better. Because it shows the metabolites are, but the free is a lot higher than it should be over there, comparatively speaking. So total TGA, THE is the cortisone and THF is the, and they're equal. I don't know why. Scroll up a little bit so I can see the bottom graph again. Why is her free cortisone? Free cortisone. Let's see. This is my internet connection. I'm looking for cofactors. Do you have any issues with blood pressure?
Not that she's proclaimed.
Okay. Ask her about a blood pressure, you know?
Yep. Yep.
High or low? Or just right? And converting active cortisol. So it's the hydroxysteroid dehydrogenase type 2. 11-beta-HSD2, it converts cortisol to inactive cortisone. So she's over-converting the cortisol to cortisone. Mutations, there is a gene. It could be a genetic thing. A potential mineral. Did she take any licorice?
No.
Okay. ACTH, we're killing levels of adrenal cortisol, blood pressure. I would tend to think based on these numbers that she's more likely to be hypotensive than hypertensive.
That makes sense, just knowing her, just even knowing her character and her personality.
Mm-hmm. I'm just looking to see if I can find the, here we go, let's see, if I can find a cofactor. NAD, which would be a niacin. So... oh, she has the opposite. Let me look at this one the other way. Okay, so this, she's got more going to cortisone. NAD. The other one's NADH. This is NAD. Check her. Did you have any blood work on her to see what her potassium and sodium levels are?
She, and that's actually one of the things I gave her to ask her doctor. She's supposed to be getting with her doctor next week.
Okay. Yeah, so if she can get with her doctor next week, ask for an A1C and an insulin. Ask for a glucose meter, continuous glucose meter. And then here, I'm going to give you in the chat an article that I just found. There we go.
Okay.
And that goes through a lot of the enzymes and the cofactors and all that, and they give you some bearing on her. See stuff in there and some questions that you can ask. Okay?
All right.
Hey.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, so you can stop sharing. Serpa, super. Janine said, my interview on mastering diabetes was excellent. Thank you. I appreciate that. A lot of people have been coming to me and listening to the mastering diabetes thing and asking me about, you know, their different approach compared to mine. Like they're talking about high carbohydrate diets for reversing diabetes. And, you know, I'm saying it's personal. You got to figure it out for each person, right? You can't just say. And I don't even remember what my interview was with them. So I got to listen to it and see. I don't remember. I do so many of these. I don't remember exactly what we talked about, but I know we talked about the fact that I find that a lot of people who have been on that high fruit, high grain type of, you know, plant-based diet for a long time and find themselves out of balance have found that they needed to reset their insulin receptors. And it doesn't mean that they could never be back on those kind of diets, but they've got to get reset, right? And they've got to get reset. And that was true for me. I mean, I was way out of whack. And I was on, you know, a low-fat, high fruit, plant-based diet for many, many years. And it wasn't right for me. And it's made a huge difference for me to shift, and we all have to figure it out. I covered a lot of bases. I probably did. I just kind of, he had a lot of questions. I remember him having a lot of really, really good questions with scientific bases. So we'll see. I hope I don't become a scapegoat in that, you know, like she's the weird one that wants us to do low carbs. Because, you know, people said that to me, well, Gregor, you know, all these famous doctors were in there and they were saying something different than what you said. I just speak my truth, you know, and there is no one truth for everybody. That's my truth. There is no one truth for everybody. I was, somebody on the fasting site, the fasting for whatever, it popped up and asked a question about finding that intermittent fasting, finding an article that somebody had written about how bad intermittent fasting was for certain conditions. I said, yeah, what do you think? And I said, well, I said, look, you said you tried it for a year and didn't feel good. You shouldn't have tried it for a whole year. You should have stopped when it didn't feel good, right? The body gives you the feedback, right? You go, oh, wow, I'm doing this intermittent fasting and I feel great. And most people do, right? Other people don't. Same thing with the carbohydrate. I remember this guy and I got him on this plant-based, high carbohydrate, whole grain type of diet. He lost all this weight. Everything got better. He was great. This other person came in. This is early in my day. So I'm just like, oh, I know what to do now, right? And then I go, this other person comes in and she tried it. She gained weight. And so I took her off the whole grains and I put her on lots of avocados and vegetables. And she lost a ton of weight. She's, I'm eating like 3 avocados a day and I'm losing weight. Right. So we have to just go in ebb and flow. And my comment there was, there's no one thing that I know that's good for everybody. Except for meeting your individual nutritional needs. That's good for everybody. But we don't know what that is and how that's done. So anyway, cool. Great plugs to your program. Oh, good. I'm glad it was because we're leading into that, promoting for a sweet spot, you know. And I got to do this over the weekend when I get back home because I have all these ideas for updating my videos and updating some of the stuff in the site with some new insights. And I just keep getting highly motivated and, you know, kind of on my soapbox about certain things, especially these tests. Let me just tell you, I was on a call, I guess it was this morning with the ERC group, and I was like, these are tests that can save people's lives. Like Jay came on and said, one of our ERC people, he came on and said, you know, he never had an A1C done. And when he got it tested, it was 10. And no doctor ever had him do it. He saw it was being advertised at a health fair at his work. And he did an A1C and found out it was 10. Now he's having really bad problems with his retinas. He's had some retinal damage because nobody did that bloody test when he was 14. Nobody told us to do those tests at an early age to say, huh, your A1C keeps creeping up. It was, you know, it was 5 last year. Now it's 5.5. And I think there's something wrong here with your blood sugar. Let's take care of it, right? If we could do that for our teenagers, if we could do that for our young adults, we can get those things done as a baseline. We're going to catch so many of these problems before they show up. One of our ERC people, she found out she had blood sugar imbalance because she went to her eye doctor and was doing her annual exam for a prescription. He says, "You have diabetes." She goes, "No, I don't." She says, "You have pre-diabetes, but you have diabetic retinopathy. So you have changes to your retinas that are consistent with diabetes. And I'm going to report it to your primary care." The primary care said, "Oh, no, you're fine. Your fasting glucose is, you know, 90, no big deal." So she was like, then she started her husband on Sweet Spot last year, determined from doing her testing that she indeed had a problem, right? This eye doctor saved her by checking it, right? More and more eye doctors like Louisa, who's in our program, need to be doing that sort of stuff. But these tests, I think if we do them early on, we're not going to find somebody like Jay, who's his first time doing it. Wasn't even when he did it. It was a 10, right? It was a 10. That's crazy. We could start to look at it like, who was on that last call that you were on with me, Lynn, the office hours. And, "Oh, the doctor said I don't have blood sugar problems. You know, my fasting glucose is starting to get higher, but it's in the 90s. It's fine. And my hemoglobin A1C was 5.6, and the doctor said I'm fine." You are for now. Like, what's it going to be next year? And what kind of changes are happening to your retinas, to your peripheral nerves, to everything else while, you know, while this is going on? So these are the things that we can step in. And now I'm going to change my basic panels to just everybody needs a baseline. If you don't have one already, everybody needs a baseline, insulin and hemoglobin A1C, right? And if every doctor can prescribe a continuous glucose meter, even for somebody to wear for a month, just to get some baseline numbers and see what's going on for that person, it's going to give us some really good information that are going to save these people from losing their eyesight, from losing their legs, from, you know, like the guy that does our membership site, he just threw some copy in for me on, you know, something about Sweet Spot. He goes, yeah, it was something like, yeah, get rid of the cocaine to the table so you don't risk amputations and, you know, your eyes go, you know, you're like, I should use that language, right? He called it the cocaine at the table, that sweet cocaine at the table. I thought it was funny. So anyway, that's the stuff that I want you guys to just be like, you're on the cutting edge. These are the things that you're going to do that others aren't going to do and catch people. And when they go, "Yeah, my doctor said 5.5 is fine on A1C. It's within the range, but it's like 2.2 away from being insulin resistant. Like, is that really what you want to be? You know? Yeah. Yeah, see if you can get that, Janine. Everybody should get one. One of these days, that's the way the world's going to change. We're going to be able to have that, unless we get the Star Trek devices first, right? Oh, you know, everything that's all wrong with you, right? Wouldn't that be cool? But in the meantime, the Libra is pretty darn good, you know? And it may not be perfect, and some people may get some weird readings, but overall, you're getting a trend. You're getting to see a trend. And that's what matters. That's what really matters. And it's so much better than trying to get people to prick their fingers every 15 minutes. Although they get dedicated and they do it, right? So who else? Questions, comments?
I have a question.
Yeah, who was that?
That's Valerie.
Oh, Valerie. Okay. I saw Susan's hand go up, but I heard the voice. Oh, Valerie's voice.
Sorry, I'm like, Susan.
Okay. Go for it, Valerie, then we'll go to Susan.
Okay. I got really excited today when I got an email from a friend who sent it out to a group. And he was talking about his diet, and he changed his diet. He's pretty much dropped out all of the carbs, the starchy carbs. And he's lost weight. He's feeling better. His joints aren't hurting so much and all that. And so he sent this email out, and I got so excited I replied. And then I told him his adopted son last fall, who is a diabetic. I guess he is too. He doesn't live near me anymore, so we don't stay in touch as much. But his son had serious, he nearly died in the fall from ketoacidosis issues. The son is also Asperger's. So there's a lot of complications. And back in the fall, I started to try to talk to him about a lot of this. And then it just didn't work out. And then I backed off. I got a little bit scared because it was so serious. And then after this email today, I emailed him, and then we talked on the phone for quite a while this afternoon. Ooh. And we're going to meet with him and his son on Sunday. Nice. He's driving down into this area. Oh. So he was telling me that the son, after the hospital experience, he'd been trying to get an artificial pancreas, and the insurance was fighting him. So now, after they spent probably hundreds of thousands of dollars with him in intensive care for 6 or 7 days and all this, they gave him the artificial pancreas. Apparently, he's also cut back on his carbs and is doing low carbs, but he is still not able to lose weight. And so I'm trying to figure out, you know, because I'm thinking insulin, because insulin, high insulin is going to pack on the weight. But if he's doing low carbs, how do you follow up on that? What kinds of questions should I ask to try to get at what's going on here?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, the thing is, we know it's more than food, right? So we have to look at the sleep and the stress, and we have to look at their timings. The carbs, and then the nutrients, of course, I forgot about that, right? So for years and years and years of this, we just stripped our whole body from chromium and magnesium, and, it's gone. And those nutrients are important. So going back to all the stuff you learned about the different nutrients, right, and trying to get that balance going on there. So I'm assuming type 2 diabetes because you said, what do you mean by an artificial? Tell me what you mean. Like, did they remove his pancreas, or is it something? What is it?
That's what his father told me. I think it's probably an insulin pump.
An insulin pump.
That's my anticipation.
Yeah, so you're not going to see, okay, here's what you're going to see. If somebody's not type 1, they're type 2, but their pancreas has worn out, right? And they get put on insulin. You don't want to, the problem is that they have insulin resistance that they've built up over the years, right? But now they're pumping more insulin in, and they can still have too much insulin. Like, one person that explains it beautifully is Jody Stanislaw. She's a type 1 diabetic herself, and she controls everything, and she talks about how these different things affect how much insulin she needs, and her goal is to put in as little as possible. She determined something like, I can skip one day of exercise and still just keep my insulin level the same. If I skip 2 days of exercise, I need to pump more insulin. So what does this tell us as non-type 1 diabetics, right? It tells us a lot about the effects that the various lifestyle habits have on our need for insulin. And, as normal people, we just pump out more insulin, right? And then we get too much, and then they become type 2 diabetic. So those are the kind of things I'd be looking at, right? Lack of sleep. She said, if I have a bad night of sleep, I need to pump more insulin the next day. So she's resistant to it. I mean, whether you're type 1 or type 2, you still become resistant to it under the circumstances that create insulin resistance. So she's really, I don't read her all the time. I catch her blog sometimes, but she writes some good stuff because it gives us good information about the effects of insulin. And because nobody ever writes that way. They're just like, like what Annette calls the, what do we call it? Eat and pray. No, she has a name for it. I really like it. But it's basically where they eat whatever you want, let your sugars go up, and then cover. Eat and cover. She calls it eat and cover. So you just take more, but then you go down into the low, and then you take candy to bring it up, and then you go take more insulin to bring it down. And this is like constant yo-yo. And Annette's daughter was similar, went in, had no idea she even had diabetes, and went into the hospital in ketoacidosis with sugars over 600, hemoglobin A1C over 14. They'd never tested her before. So one of the things Annette says, which I love this quote, is just like a thermometer, a glucose meter should be a health device in every home. And whenever somebody has these symptoms, like for her daughter, it was viral symptoms for months. They said, she has a virus, she's stressed, she's been living abroad, whatever. She didn't. She had diabetes, right? So had all doctor's offices, when somebody comes in with symptoms, take their temperature, take their blood pressure, take their blood glucose right there on the spot. Same thing at home. You have a kid that's not getting better, like take their blood glucose. What's going on? Because it can manifest in so many different ways. So how old is this kid?
Oh, he's in his 30s. He's probably in his late 30s.
Yeah.
Yeah, his dad's 75. So, I mean, okay. that's a big accomplishment for this guy to do this low carb. I was amazed at what he's done because I've known him for over 30 years.
So we're asking lots of questions about, like, is it low carb, you know, butter and bacon type of an approach, which means fiber's missing, you know, which affects gut health, which means that the antioxidants, the vitamins, the minerals, all that stuff's missing.
His dad said that he was eating salads and greens and healthier. But I'll get more information on Monday. Yeah, but I have to walk carefully here.
Ask him to do a three-day diet diary. So you really want to dig in. Can you do a three-day diet diary for me? Bring it.
Well, I'm actually going to have to be very careful about this conversation on Sunday because his dad is kind of pushes his buttons a little bit. So I can't come in looking like I'm here to fix you. I just need to be curious.
Be curious. Yeah.
See where we go from there.
Absolutely. And suggest, I mean, he should be able to get it if he's diabetic, a continuous meter.
Apparently his dad said he had one. I need to find out for sure what he's got.
Yeah. Yeah. Little fine tuning things can make so much difference.
Okay. So I'll get as much info as I can and then I may have more questions later.
Yep. Yeah. Good luck. It sounds like, you know, you're treading that line, the friendship and the, yeah, it's challenging.
Cool. And with the father and the son.
Yes, right.
And the son is Asperger's.
Yeah, that's a challenge. That's a big challenge.
And he lives alone.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of challenge here, but I'm gonna try to help.
But you can, yeah. And if he's educable, the problem with the Asperger's is they have a hard time following through.
Well, they have areas of brilliance. So if we can get this to be an area of brilliance, then he can really learn. But if it's one of those things that's not on his radar, then it's going to be a real challenge.
Be a challenge, yeah. Yeah. Good luck.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so Susan.
All right, so I've got a question regarding keto and thyroid, because as well you know, there seems to be the keto's fantastic for everybody camp, and then there's the if you've got thyroid issues, Hashimoto's or hypothyroidism or whatever, then you shouldn't be on keto. Help me make sense of this.
What do they mean by keto? This is my big thing.
That was going to be
keto, the butter baked,
I was thinking.
You know, crap. Not a lot of foods, not a lot of antioxidants, not a lot of vitamins, minerals, fiber, all the good foods. I don't think anybody's really looked carefully at just getting into a mild ketogenic state, burning fat more efficiently, which is what, you know, my keto challenge and that kind of thing does. It's not a massive keto thing. But it's also an alkalizing, you know, why am I drawing a blank on her name? Anna Kabeca talks about the, you know, the effects of keto and how she was seeing a lot of women really, really struggling with it. But when you combine the keto and the alkaline, right, that you keep people in that alkaline state, because a keto diet, the way it's taught, it's very acidifying. Right. And then they throw bulletproof coffee on it all day long. And
right. I was hearing this from, you know, Dr. Alan Christensen and J.J. Virgin, and I respect them, and I also know that they think a lot like you do, so that was just confusing to me. It's like, well, is there something I'm missing or don't understand? Or
well, they do and they don't.
Okay.
They push the animal protein.
Okay.
They push the animal protein, and that's I think, a downside.
That's kind of what I figured you'd say, but I just wanted to verify that. So just, you know, basically being on the sweet spot puts up, and I've done so well on it. And
it gets people came on that keto challenge going, hey, I didn't even start yet and my ketones are 1.2. I said, you've been on spot diet. And now, I've been saying it for years that we put the reason some people do so well so quickly is they are fast keto adopters, and they get into a nutritional ketosis, mild nutritional ketosis, and that just lets it drop. Other people, it takes a while. My husband just hit like 2 on his keto meter. He's been, you know, I hit 2 on the first day of fasting for 16 hours, right? So, or 18 or 20. But everybody's different, right? He and I did a 5-day water fast together. His ketones got up to 0.7. Mine got up to 7, right? So we're all a little bit different in how that works.
But I struggle to get to 1.
Okay, well, you're a slow adapter, see? So, but the thing is, I feel like I've taught my body from doing repeated 5-day fasts. I never used to go that quickly. I've taught it, I've trained it to go into burning fat fast. And you don't have to get past 1. That's mild nutritional ketosis, okay. Right? Right. And when you look at the folks that are teaching keto, they're not usually having them do the keto mojo. Now more and more people are learning it, but they're usually having them do the dipsticks, which is just doesn't even really tell you where you are. It just tells you there's ketones or not. Yeah, so it's not for nothing is for everybody, mm-hmm. right? So I start people with a sweet spot, and the people that get that are struggling, like what's going on there? Some of it, it's too much fat, and they have to back off the fat, right? For some of them, they're missing the resistant starch, and they really need that resistant starch. I just bought some organic dried green banana powder, and I only put it in a smoothie once, and it was when I was testing my vitamin C, and I didn't have good reading, so I didn't really test to see what it did. But I think that might be part of it as well, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's
what works for each person, and then that's why Alan Hopkins, when I talked to him, and he put together the little keto panel, he says, "I see some people do great, and I see some people not, and it may be the level of a vegetable volume that they're having, the antioxidants volume that they're having, and some people the T3 goes way down."
Right. Well, because it seems like there's a lot of people with the thyroid also have the insulin, which doesn't make sense for them to be eating carbohydrates. And so the whole thing wasn't making any sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you can't have both. You can't be getting your blood sugar managed and eating carbohydrates, you know.
I know a couple of people who did Dr. Christensen's 28-day thing, and you know, they went through that whole thing and said, you know, didn't lose weight. Yeah, had some, you know, good gut responses, and mainly because they were drinking 2 shakes a day and only 1 meal rather than 3 meals. Yeah, right. But their blood sugar went up higher than they wanted it to be.
Okay.
You know, so there's no one program for everybody.
Yeah. I just thought maybe there was a piece of information out there that I wasn't aware of. But, I mean, that makes sense, what you said, and that's kind of where I was going with it. But,
you know, and I go to these health conferences, and I'm hanging out with these folks who teach this stuff, and mm-hmm. I watch their plates. And my plate is, you know, hugely packed with green leafy vegetables and, you know, non-starchy vegetables with some avocado, coconut, nut seed, whatever, for the extra piece. And theirs is like these little bitty salads with the big piece of meat.
Right.
That's how I feel too.
That's how you feel too when you snatch people at conferences? Yeah.
I feel like the freak with the mountain of vegetables in front of me.
I know, right?
that's gonna have the better response. Nobody can keep up with my energy when I go to these conferences. Everybody's like, oh, I'm tired. I need some coffee. Like, seriously? Like, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. Why do you need coffee? You know, it's insane. But, and it's like 10 o'clock at night, and I'm still like, it's getting tired. Like, stop drinking coffee and eating so much meat and eat more vegetables.
At this conference we were just at, I think I mentioned a little bit to you. So I had gone down for breakfast, and of course it's bacon, eggs, and toast, and muffins, and things like that. And they're like, oh, but there's fruit. Yeah, your point is. Anyway, so I had a really good talk with the chef. And I'll tell you, he took such good care of me the rest of the weekend. And we had great conversations. So for the breakfast or the lunch, he expanded his salad bar to include more greens. So there was like baby kale and arugula and stuff. And all his dressings suddenly became gluten-free and dairy-free. So, yeah. And then at the reception on Sunday night, he actually came up and brought me a plate of vegetables because they had, you know, like the meat bar and the dessert bar and everything. And he said, this is just for you. So, you know, they can be taught. They just don't know. And
People really ask for what they want and that they've known their whole lives. And
yeah. Right. And of course, you know, as you go in, they give you a drink card because you get a free drink. And I'm looking around. Now, not everybody is health coach, but I'm sitting next to this guy who you actually, you talk to him at the mind share, Evan Hirsch. He's medical doctor. Yeah. So anyway, we had a little talk because my husband, who works a third shift, he was talking to him, you know, what can I do? And he was like talking about all pills, no food stuff, and about all these things to stimulate his adrenals and his cortisol and everything. And I said, excuse me, are you looking at this man? This man obviously has a blood sugar issue. Are you taking that into consideration? He kind of stopped and he was like, you should really talk to your wife because she's really smart, you know?
That's what I see. You know, the people that I hang out with in that functional medicine circle, there's a lot of that focus on the pills, on what herb and what supplement and what nutrient. And, you know, they're drinking lots of wine, but it's organic wine.
Oh, that what he was drinking wasn't organic.
Coffee all day long. Like, but your point. So we just need the food is primary. Yeah, we need to know herbs. We need to know our nutrients. We need to know how to balance people with the idea that here's your solution now. And yeah, our soils are depleted. And so you're going to need some, you know, supplementation, whatever. But let's just get the maximum we can out of those soils, out of those things that are grown in those soils, right? Don't just say, well, the soils are depleted, so don't bother with the vegetables. Just take these pills and eat your steak.
Yep.
Crazy. Scott and I went to the store last night. We're in Arizona. My niece is getting married tomorrow, so we went to Whole Foods. We're like a mile and a quarter from Whole Foods. So we go in there. And we're going to be here for 4 days, so we load up our cart. And we had over $200 worth of food, right? But I thought, you know what? If the two of us ate meals at restaurants, 4 days, eight meals if we just ate one meal a day in a restaurant. How much does a meal cost in a restaurant, right? And so here we are with organic arugula, organic lettuce, and he walks around just eating organic lettuce pieces and, you know, cucumbers, and we found yogurt, and I mean, we just had this feast, right? My lunch today was, I found spiralized zucchini, and this jalapeno almond dip that I put on top of it, and I had an arugula salad with sprouts, with, you know, sauerkraut, and I was like, I'm eating like a queen. And we can do this, right? We can do this when we travel, when we're home. And this is what I really want us to teach people, the foundations of powerful, good nutrition, along with, you know, how do you fill in the gaps and how do you look at your genes and your environment and fill in the gaps with the supplements and the herbs and the things that you need. But it's supplement, not replacement.
Yeah.
I know I can get on my high horse about it, but that's what I watch. I watch what is it that we do differently, you know, and I look at different health coaches coming out of different places. And it's this focus on real food, lots of real food, whole food.
Yeah. And eating in that peaceful environment, chewing your food. One thing that I've been emphasizing lately, because people drink a lot of water while they're eating, and you really should have a buffer on either side of your meals.
Yeah.
So that it doesn't neutralize your stomach acid. So, I mean, it's just so basic, but it's not being done because we're kind of thinking beyond the mark. You know, like you said, what supplement can I take? What herb? And yeah.
And I think it's a mindset thing, is to have people know that you're taking this stuff and it doesn't mean now you have a license to, you know, do crap, right? Like, oh, I'm taking my vitamins. It's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Eat a plate of bacon. I saw a lot of bacon flying off that table. I was like, oh.
I get it. I see that at these health coach things. And it's like, or health, you know, functional medicine type conferences. And it's like, I'm sorry. I don't see that bacon as a health food.
I remember the first time I was at, well, it's the only time I've been to a Seeking Health conference, but it's the first time I've ever been to, it was, you know, a health practitioner conference, and I was in line, and I get there, and I'm like, there's bacon here, and everybody's like, yeah, and I'm like, but it's bacon. I don't care. I mean, okay, I live in farm country. I know how they slaughter animals, even the good ones, and how they cure them and everything that's added to it. And I'm like, can I just take you on a farm tour and show you how this stuff is made, even the good stuff? I just boggled my mind.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else want to get going in a little bit? You guys are welcome to hang out and chat if you want to as I go. Go hang out at my niece's house and see what's going on. Get to see my sisters who I haven't seen in a year and a half, almost 2 years. One of them I haven't seen in over, two of them I haven't seen in probably 3 years. And one of them I've seen. And then my nieces and nephews and grandnieces and grandnephews. You know, you're getting up there. I don't have any grandkids of my own, but my sister has 5 of them, and they're all going to be there. So it's going to be cool. Yeah. All right. And that's my sister who was in Sweet Spot last year. So she was really, hopefully she went back. She told me at first of the year, I'm going back on because I want to be in, you know, looking good for the wedding. So we'll see. Haven't seen her in a while.
You know, and I'll just be real brief. That's a really good point, though, to give our clients. When I start my clients out, I have them sign something where they write down what their little goals are, whether it's a night in the bathtub or, you know, a walk in the mountains or whatever it is. That's just really important to give those little mini goals to our clients as they reach certain plateaus.
Yeah, those rewards are really important. We do that in even our brain cleanse, which is 7 days long. We have people, okay, what do you want to accomplish by the end? And what's your reward for doing it? And it can't be going out and binging on See's chocolate. It's got to be something non-food related. Let's make it some, you know, massage or a pampering or, you know, something like that.
Those jeans you've hid at the back of your closet because you didn't think you'd ever wear them.
Yeah, getting into those skinny jeans again. Yeah. Yeah, it's good. It's good. All right, guys. Well, have a great evening. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.